Now, here's an interesting one. Does the CFL do anything to prevent bribing the officials or match fixing? Not suggesting anything is going on, just wondering that one from TA.
Officially, no. Officials are vetted fairly carefully before they're hired, when they're considered, and those that are responsible for finding the officials for the league are going to do some examination of their character. But police checks are not something that's in our world yet. I suspect that we will see that at some point in the future. It's certainly common. You know, our friends to the south do very thorough FBI checks on all officials.
Really? Like constant? Seeing who they're...
Absolutely. Just think of how many millions of dollars are bet on the NFL every week. I mean, this is huge business. And, the number one sports franchise cannot afford a black eye like basketball took. So, they're watching the guys extremely carefully. In fact, officials are met three times a year at the hotel and taken aside to provide samples. So they're looked at very carefully.
Like, what do you mean? Urine samples?
Yeah.
They do drug testing in the...
They do drug testing.
But you don't do it for the... Well, the players in the CFL don't, so I highly doubt
that. No, there are random tests of the players. There's a drug...
Oh, that's right. After each game, though, right? Yeah, one random player per team?
I think there's two a team. They get yanked into the room. Now, in terms of the players, I can't say what's done with the players. Football ops is a fairly big department in Toronto, so they may have some things that they're doing that I'm not aware of. But we're Canadian. You know, I mean, look, the reason that we're in this is about the game. It's a small enough department that we know everybody's wives, all their children. We know everything about them pretty much. We're sharing rooms with them on the road, and you're not sleeping with the same guy every weekend. So you get to know people very well, and you're going to know if something's up. I'm fairly confident that it does not exist in the CFL.
Guys, the thing that bothers me are the flags that have zero impact on the drive. That drives us nuts. Illegal block on special teams when the returner is already by the tackler, and then completely blatant missed calls. For the record, it was pass interference last week. Team Dean, who says he doesn't care what the command center said. I'm just curious if Dean's ever been an official. But what's your thought on the illegal block after the returner is already gone?
I tend to agree. I don't like to see those sorts of penalties called. Now, several years ago, we had, I believe there was a half a dozen head coaches come to our camp, and we talked about this subject, essentially under the topic of flags that don't have a bearing on the play.
Yes.
And their response was, who the hell are you to figure out whether or not that infraction had a bearing on the play? Just because the ball carrier might be past that infraction, what are you, Kreskin? How do you know where that play is going to end up?
Well, you can't say common sense.
So the man that was held could very well have gotten free and made the tackle because the ball carrier cut back across the field, and the guy could have potentially got in there to do it. So the coach's direction to us was, if you see it, call it.
Hmm.
We'll do our best to stop it. And so we've sort of adopted that philosophy. The coaches are saying, you know, don't you be making these judgments.
Now, Dean, who clearly thinks he's an official or knows more than the command center, is talking about that pass interference. And I think a lot of people actually don't know the actual wording on what you guys view as pass interference. And they're talking about the review early in the game, the Edmonton-Calgary one, the game before that.
The Winnipeg.
Yeah, the Winnipeg game and the Toronto one. Because I remember I texted you and said, why was that not pass interference?
Yeah, and that was a give-and-get situation. There was a fair bit of contact between the two players. And
so if the receiver is pushing back, does that negate it?
It can. I mean, okay. I don't want to create a black and a white here, because
sure.
you've got to see the whole picture. The Bowman call or no call late in the game in Calgary, I think, is a better example, because
okay.
you see Bowman literally fall to the ground at the end of it. But from what we saw, Adarius was the one that initiated the contact. He was in trying to create space. The Calgary player essentially had him locked. He kind of had his arm locked over one of Adarius's arms.
Mm-hmm.
And for all intents and purposes, both the official making the call and the replay center said, no, it's just equal there. They were both attacking one another. So you just get whatever happened on the play.
And early in the Saskatchewan-Winnipeg game, the Saskatchewan defender clearly, to me, made contact with the Winnipeg
yep.
receiver. So how do you decide, because there's incidental contact,
yeah.
what's the definition? Is there one in the actual, so when the young official's coming up and he's reading, what's actually deemed incidental contact?
That's part of the secret Masonic code of officiating. It's, you know, I'm joking, but it really is part of it. And as an official, you've got to demonstrate to us in your junior and your CIS games that you can make that differentiation. Because just because there's contact, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is pass interference, unlike the League to the South, where you can't make contact.
So in the CFL, you can make contact.
Yeah, there can be contact. Sure there can. It's, you know, and there will
yeah,
be contact.
Yeah, in the NFL, it's 5 yards downfield, right?
That's right. And then there is no contact. It is so much simpler. If we adopted their pass interference rules, the first year, I think fans would go home because there'd be so many penalties, but it would be so easy for us. We wouldn't have missed calls. We wouldn't have wrong calls.
Because I think, to me, incidental contact, I want to see some guys battling for the ball, jockeying for position. I prefer that, to
I
be
love
honest.
It. I love it. I remember I went to a football game. I wasn't working that particular weekend. Larry Hybaugh was playing for the Edmonton Eskimos. And Hybaugh had a thing going with a BC Lions player. Lions were in town. And those two guys spent the entire second half beating the hell out of each other. I don't think the ball was ever thrown to Hybaugh. I think he said to the quarterback, don't even throw to me. I'm out here. We're just playing our game. And they knocked each other every play, hard, and one guy go down, the other one would pick him up, and you could tell they were playing their own game and there wasn't a flag thrown on it. I don't mind that. It's all about whether someone takes away an opportunity.
Bud Seen joins us inside the stripes. You know, no yards is one that comes up all the time, because I know the CFL has wanted to reduce flags, and it's something, you know, people say, well, the CFL has more flags than the NFL, and I bet you it's strictly because of the no yards rule, right? That's the basis one. Of course, fair catch in the NFL, there's no flags on it, you know, because now as the ball bounces and teams are taught, get in there, who cares, because it's 5 yards.
Yeah.
People, they're like, I'll give up 5 yards all day long instead of a big return. Has there been talk? Is there a way to change that next season?
No, we haven't talked about that. If you can figure something out, let us know. You know, in amateur ball, if you got a nasty wind and the ball's dropping out of the sky like a rock, we can blow it dead. But I don't think that would sell in the CFL.
No.
You know, I suppose it.
To me, if the ball bounces back towards the kicking team, and because I know that people say, well, there's no yards, and they can just huddle around it, which is whatever, because it happens so few times. But to me, when the ball bounces and it's rolling forward and it's on the sixth bounce and now the receiving team has circled around and the guy's waiting, he waits, he looks, and he's hovering and waiting, and then he touches it because he thinks someone's in the five-yard radius
yeah.
just to get the 5 yards. I'm just like, it's such a dumb play.
Yeah, it is. It is a dumb
like
play.
If the, to me, if there was a way to – I don't know how you'd word it, but I think most people would be like, fine. Because or just say, here, don't throw the flag and just move the ball up 5 yards. No one in the stadium would really know the difference very often. They'd be like, oh, they're scrimmaging the 29, 34. Who cares?
Yeah.
But it saves the flag because I think the perception is what annoys a lot of
well,
people.
Well, that's probably true. I suppose another thing we could do is once it stops bouncing, count to three and blow it dead. But that would then take away the opportunity for the kicker to come in and recover that ball.
Well, then it's up to the return guy to know who the kicker is.
Yeah.
Because I've never seen the kicker really that close on any of those plays this year.
Not Reese. Not
because a
not
lot of the punts
year.
Are still yep. 45 yards downfield.
There aren't very many kickers that want to go venturing beyond the line of scrimmage, because once you're out there, you're a football player, and those guys don't like getting hit.
No. Well, we saw Eskimos have lost Grant Shaw for the season on a tackle that ultimately didn't have to make because it was a call back on a penalty.
Yeah.
And they've lost him for the season, it looks like. So that's definitely unfortunate. But always good to talk to him. Well, we'll see
Thanks.
You soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next Tuesday.
Absolutely. Thanks.